Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. I am so grateful and thankful to the Lord to be in the land of the living and to be an instrument of the Lord Jesus to bring the beauty of his word to those who are listening to the program tonight. I thank you so much for being faithful to the program and most of all being faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you again. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I am just really excited and happy concerning our lesson tonight. So I just wanted you to just come prepared to a table that will feed your soul, that will prepare your heart, and with the hope and the faithfulness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it will move you to extend the gospel of Jesus Christ in all its beauty, whether it be preaching or teaching or going out and evangelizing. This is God's will and purpose for our lives. So glory, hallelujah. Thank you for listening in, those who are listening live on the internet. Praise the Lord. Thank you for tuning in tonight, and those who have called to be a part of the program, to be live with the host. Thank you again, and God bless you. I do have a special guest host that's going to be with me tonight, and he's not a stranger to the program, but, again, he is with us tonight to help expound the Word of God tonight and just to expose it in all its beauty. And some of those who are faithful in tuning into the program, Pastor Michael Crow is not a stranger to Mission from the Heart Radio, and I am so grateful for him to be live with me tonight on the program, that we will co-host together and we will walk hand in hand with the hope that you take something away from this lesson tonight, and that you would allow it to grow in the fertilization of your heart through the scriptures, through prayer and fellowship with the Lord and other believers. So hallelujah, and thank you once again for tuning in. And we are going to just pick up where we left off last week. And last week we introduced Matthew chapter 13. We introduced chapter 13, verse 3 is where we started. But my co-host, Pastor Crow, is going to take us back a few verses tonight to kind of really set the stage for us as we continue to move forward verse by verse. And so I enjoy learning verse by verse, and I enjoy sharing, actually, what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us through his word so that we can grow and go together in grace, so that the kingdom will be established in our hearts and from generations to come. So hallelujah and praise the Lord to that. But we started off in verse 3 of last week, and we basically just focused on who the sower is during the time that Jesus told this particular parable in Matthew chapter 13. The scriptures revealed that Jesus is the sower in this particular parable. And just to help you understand what a parable is, I understood it so simplistically in this manner. A parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So if you would write that down and keep it in your heart, in your mind, that it would always make sense to you. When you read through the Gospels, you'll see how Jesus used these parables to teach the common people there in the city. So he used the everyday things that they were fully understanding, like agriculture and a potter and clay and things that were easy for them to relate to and understand, so that it would not go over their heads. Now, of course, the disciples were right there with him, and they walked with him for 3 years, and so they received more depth, even deeper things of the kingdom, more mysteries and secrets of the kingdom of God, Jesus' teaching. And he demonstrated right there before their eyes, because he had a greater work for them, just as he has for you and I. Now, when I say you and I, I'm speaking to those who have confessed that they are a sinner and they've accepted Jesus by faith, that he is the Messiah, the Savior, that he died on the cross for our sins. And so we have a great work before us. We are in these church age where these times are just showing right before our eyes how things are becoming a devastation to us in the police department, youth getting shot who are unarmed, and babies are being tossed away, and mothers against daughters and fathers against sons. I mean, it's just chaotic in these times right now. But we do not wander around as if there is no hope. We are called for a greater purpose, and that is to stand on his promises, make sure that our hearts are so fertilized with the right fertilizer that we would not waver to the left or to the right, or walk around with our heads hung down as if there is no hope. Our hope is Jesus Christ. We stand on his solid ground, and we believe by faith that what he promised then and now will be manifested. And we have that promise in the Gospels. We have that promise in the Old Testament, and we have that promise in Revelation. So, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm excited, and I get excited about the Word of God. So let's go right into our lesson. And Matthew chapter 13, for those of you who have your Bibles, get your pens ready and take notes. Those of you who are listening online, prepare your hearts to receive the good seed, the life-giving seed, which is Jesus Christ. Christ is the seed of life. So let's just get right started. Now, I want to introduce my host and allow him to be live on the line with me. And so I'm going to ask Pastor Crow if you could just make yourself known, if you could just chime in with me, Pastor Crow, and just let me know you're live on in the studio with me. Pastor Crow,
yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Good evening, Sister Smith.
Good evening.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I want to, first of all, just thank the God in you for this opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to share in the Word and to be the teacher. And I bring greetings from the Barber Memorial Missionary Baptist Church in the Third Ward, Midtown area of the city. And I enjoy your program so much. It's just exciting to see and hear how the Lord used you to sow seeds. And I appreciate the opportunity to share in this gospel with you. And we thank God for you, and we pray God will continue to bless you, to bless others. And I'm so thankful, and when I listen, I'm impressed by the people that you have. They call in, and I just pray that God's word in these closing days of grace, it's a good time to be preaching and teaching the word of God. And I want to applaud the God in you for that. Now, you talked about the 13th chapter, And one of the things that I was taught that when you really want to get a real good understanding of the chapter that you're in, sometimes you have to back up and let the Holy Spirit give you a launching pad. So now when you talk about the 13th chapter of Matthew, in order to understand it, you really have to look at the 12th chapter, because it's in the 12th chapter that Jesus reproved the blindness of the Pharisees. And if you study that 12th chapter, you know he had to teach them concerning the Sabbath. They tried to defame him in the 24th verse. And finally, if you read that 50th verse, when they came to Jesus and told him that his mother and his brother were outside waiting on him, are you ready? Let's take a look at that 50th verse in the 12th chapter leading to the 13th. Are you with me?
Yes.
They say, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And in other words, Jesus had been rejected by the Jewish leaders. So after being rejected, the Bible teaches us that he turned from the Jews to the Gentiles. And that's a blessing within itself, because I'm reminded of the scripture that say, we sat in darkness and a great light came. Now what that means is that he formed a relationship with us. His followers were not of his flesh, I'm talking about biologically, but of the spirit. And we are believers by spirit. We are spiritual brothers and sisters. But if you notice that verse, he say, whosoever does it the will of my Father is my brother and sister. And that word, whosoever, I am so thankful, Sister Smith, today that the word say, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That means the door is open for us. The old preacher used to say, we didn't have a seat, but now we got a seat at the table. Because they rejected Christ, he opened up the door for us. And at the end of that 12th chapter, the heavenly king, having been fully rejected by the leaders of the Jewish religion, made a break with them and turned to the Gentile. Mm-hmm. Now, when you go to that 13th chapter, I like to look at it from an allegorical point of view. And you know, when you look at things allegorically, it's a representation of a abstract or spiritual meaning through concrete or material form. Now look at that first, let's take expository look at that first verse. Are you with me? Look what it say. It say,
amen.
On that day, now some verses say the same day, Jesus went out of the house. Now watch this. Out of the house, he went and sat beside the sea. Now here, when we look at that allegorically, the house signifies the house of Israel. And if you need a scripture, you go to Matthew 10:6, and Jesus commands his disciples to go into the way of the Gentiles. So he left the house of Israel. And then the sea signifies the Gentile world. Now, in order to understand that, you have to go to Daniel 7:3, and Daniel talks about the four great beasts that came up from the sea. And when we study Revelation, we understand that the beasts represent nations. That represent, if you study Revelation, it's not a monster, but there are nations and government that will be involved during the tribulation period. So we see the king going out of the house of Israel to sit beside the sea, which is significant because he forsook the house and turned to the Gentile. Now that's enough to shout it right there.
Mm-hmm.
We had no promise. We had no hope. We weren't from the right biological family. But God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son through 42 generations to the Jews first, but also to the Gentiles. And that lets your radio audience know right there, somebody out there that think that they are nobody, I want to let you know you somebody. One of the things that the old church used to say, that we have a testimony that the angels don't have. Yeah, the angels are his messengers. Yeah, they are around the throne, but they can't say that he came all the way from heaven in the form through the incarnated birth and died for our sin. What a blessing that is. It was after this while he sat beside the seashore that he began to give the parable. And as you stated, parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Now, in reading that, the key word here is the mysteries of the kingdom were revealed to the church. Now look at that second verse. Look at that second verse in chapter 13. And a great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship, some Bibles say boat, and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Now we got to keep in mind the boat, which was not of the sea, but signifies that the church is not of the world. Are you with me? It's in the world, but not of the world. That's what makes us different. The boat signifies, some scholars say, that it represents the pulpit in the church. Mm-hmm. Sea represents the church. The boat represents the pulpit. Now, when you deal with that pulpit, you can go to Ezra. You talk about Ezra pulpit that he made over in Nehemiah 8:4. In the boat, in the church that the king of the heavenly kingdom, after forsaking the Jews, turned to the Gentile and began to speak parables to receive the mysteries of the gospel. And that mystery is the gospel. You know, Sister Carnita, it's a mystery how God could wrap himself in a suit of humanity, come down through 42 generations, born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes, give sight to the blind, made the crippled throw away their crutches, made the dumb to talk, stretched wide and lifted high on Calvary Hill, and died for our sin. And through believing that he did come, because some folks want you to give the exact time. I mean, we can debate about the time. But one thing about it, he did come. And number two, he did die.
Yeah.
And it's a fact that he did get up. What a mystery that in believing in that, Sister Smith, we could have eternal life.
Amen.
Boy, I tell you, as you continue to read through that, Sister Smith, it goes on down, and I want to let you take that other part up, because it goes on down to the third verse, and it said, and he spake many things unto them, what? In parables, saying, Lord have mercy. What a blessing. What a blessing. Now we get into the parable, and I'll let you take that up, and because, you know, once again, we have a duty to, number one, expose the word. Then we have a duty, number two, to explain the word. And then I pray that the listening audience will join us in expounding on the word. But I want to let you know that because Israel rejected Christ, we sat in darkness. And the Bible says a great light came. And he left the house of Israel. And he went into a boat, which is the church. And he sat upon the sea. And he said, he stood up and he began to preach the word of God. I don't know about you, Sister Smith, but I'm just so thankful that God sent his, he loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever what believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Somebody ought to praise him out there in Radio Land. Somebody ought to be shouting. Somebody ought to be happy right now. And if you don't know him, you ought to come to know him because he died for your sin.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So I'll stop right there because I can go on, Sister Smith, because he began to what? Explain the mystery. And that's where he goes in that fourth verse and deals with the it starts in that third verse, and he deals with the sower that went forth to sow.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you take it from there, Sister Smith, and share with me. I'll be quiet for a minute because I'm happy already. I'm just thankful. But I'll let you take it from there, and we'll join back up with you.
Okay. Well, I tell you, just listening to you expound on those verses out of Matthew 12:50 coming forward was a beautiful intro to the lesson. The lesson tonight, I tell you, it just boggles my mind when we sell ourselves short in wanting to come into a deeper understanding with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through his word. And that is the purpose of the word of God, is that we can take the richness of this word and share it with others. That they would become a light and just continue to allow this living water that sprues up in us to be poured into others. And I tell you, I just saw the light come on as you shared those beautiful nuggets concerning the word out, and then the sea, set on the sea, and then the boat, as the pulpit. And I just saw that beautiful picture that you that the scriptures painted, that you kind of helped us deeper understand how he turned to the Gentiles, and then the word whosoever, it just brings joy to my heart there. Yes, whosoever opens the door for us. It opened the door for the Gentiles when he was rejected by the Jews. And today some Jewish people still reject Jesus. Am I right in saying, Pastor Crowe?
There are those, some that still do. Yes, ma'am, there are. Just like in those days, but the church was formed by, if you read Hebrew, it takes Hebrew to really explain how these Christian Jews turned from Judaism to Christianity. Now, we don't know who the author is. Some say Paul, some there, many scholars say we don't really know who he is. But when you look at those Jewish believers that turned from Judaism to Christianity, and because they turned, they were abused, they were mistreated, their property were taken, but the author tries to remind them, and Hebrew is better, he tries to remind them throughout Hebrew that you have something that's better. And he begged them not to make the same mistakes that their father made. But in doing so, there were some Jews that formed and believed in Christ, and we thank God for them. But the judge part is that the Gentiles got a seat. Yes, ma'am. And I'm reminded of the great supper when the king sent out his servant to say, tell them that the bride, the dinner is ready. Man, the runner came back and said, I went to the leaders and everybody had something to do. And because they rejected, he said, I tell you what, go back into the highways. Now he said, go back into the streets and the lanes, I'm talking about, and go get the blind, go get the crippled, go get the crazy, go get the deformed, and tell them to come to the supper. And that servant went out. And Lord have mercy, you got to read that. And he said, I went and got them, and they all here. He said, but there's still room. He said, I'll tell you what, go to the highways and the hedge and tell them to come on to the table. And boy, that highways and hedges represent us as Gentiles because they didn't stay in the city. He said, go to the what? Highways and the hedges. That means he found you right where you were. He found me right where I was. And I just believe it's somebody in the radio audience say, look here, I was in the country minding my own business and something got a hold of me. I believe somebody was in the city getting ready to do something wrong or somebody was confused. And guess what? The Spirit of the Lord came to them and changed their whole life. And now we heirs and joint heirs. I just praise the Lord for it, Sister Smith.
Hallelujah.
I just praise
Hallelujah.
The Lord for his saving grace and his saving power. Yes, ma'am.
Praise the Lord. I tell you, it's something to shout about. And I feel I'm just receiving the excitement as you tell the story. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do. He wants us to be excited for what he did for us and for what we possess inside of us. Now, again, it's those who believe, who follow Christ, who believe that Jesus did die for your sins, for our sins. So, Pastor Crow, before I get into the next few verses, can we say a prayer of salvation for those who may be listening live on the line or for those who are listening on the phone lines? You know, this is
Praise
so important
yes,
for
sir.
This ministry that we extend the gospel of Jesus Christ, and just as you said, the gospel is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And so we, as a ministry, as sisters and brothers in Christ Jesus, as children of light, this should be our heart's desire to pray and extend the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he did tell us to go into all the world. And
our Father in heaven, we come now with bowed heads and humble hearts saying thank you.
Thank you,
for you have been better to us than we've been to our own self. We pray right now that your Holy Spirit will be the preacher, the teacher, the listener, and the hearer. Hide us behind the cross. Don't let them hear us. Let them hear Jesus. And we hurriedly admit we have not done it all right. We've missed the mark. We've sinned and come short of your glory, but please forgive us. Give us another chance. Make us better on this hour than we were on the last. Now we pray that you use us as an instrument, as a mouthpiece, to tell a dying world, Jesus Christ is Lord. Pray for those that are sick. Pray for those that are confused. Pray for economical blessings. We pray for social blessings, because you told us in Isaiah 61:1, you say, I came to set the captives free. You said, I came to lift up hung down heads. You say, I came to open up prison doors. And right now, in the name of Jesus, as your Holy Spirit teach this lesson tonight, we pray that prison doors will be opened. And Father, we're not talking about just state prison and federal prison. We're talking about the doors of our hearts, those people's hearts that are locked in prison in a way that they don't want to be. Pray for those that are held captive to addictions that they don't want to be held captive to. We pray for those whose heart has been broken by some incident or some circumstances. We pray your Holy Spirit will speak to their heart. Pray that the scriptures will become real in their life. Pray that your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And who else do I have on the line? If you could just make yourself known, I would love to acknowledge you tonight. If you would speak up, please. Hello?
Hello?
All right. Yes. Who do we have on the line tonight? I just want to acknowledge the fact that you are joining us tonight.
Susie Kinnard.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm so excited to have you tuned in tonight, and it is truly a blessing. Yes, go right ahead. Did you want to say something?
I just thank God for the program. I thank God for him being our God and for him being sending his son to die for us. This is Brother and Sister Kinnard. And I thank you, Pastor Crow, and you for ministering to us all tonight. God bless you all.
Amen. Amen.
Well, amen. Thank you, Sister Kinnard and Brother Kinnard, for listening tonight as a duo. We are so grateful that you and so many others are listening tonight to receive what God has for you. And praise the Lord. And I just wanted to acknowledge those who may have chimed in and give them an opportunity to say hello and glad to be a part of the program tonight. So we're going to move on. We're going to move on through the lesson tonight so we can really just dig into this good fertilizer. And so let's look at Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to look at verses 4 through 6. Now, this is how it reads for those who have their Bibles. I'm going to be looking at, I like to move through different translations. And I'm going to read from the New King James Translation, Matthew chapter 13, verse 4 and 6.
Uh-huh.
And it reads this way. And as he sowed, we're going to rest right there. And as he sowed, we're going to think about that. Now, we established who he was last week. As he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
And the birds came and devoured them. Verse 5. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. Verse 6. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Now that's New King James Version, but verses 4 through 6. And we're just going to focus. We are going to sow, and we are going to reap an understanding of verses 4 through 6, making it plain and simplistic. And listen to what it says in the New Living Translation, just one of my favorites among many. It reads this way. As he scattered them across the field. Now picture this farmer. I just want you to kind of keep that in your mind for those of you who may be country girls or country boys or been to the country before or drove past the country and wondered what some of those tractors did and how they did what they did. So keep the picture in your mind, if you will. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath.
Mm-hmm.
And the birds came and ate them. Verse 5, other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlining rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. Verse 6, but the plants soon withered or wilted under the hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, they died.
My Lord.
They died. So the picture in our mind, or at least in my mind, and think with me, if you will, the picture in my mind for verses 4 and 6, and we're going to take verse 4 first before I move to 5 and 6. But let's look at verse 4. And it says, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. Let's look at this word, wayside. Now, we understand what sowed means. He planted. He planted. Jesus is the sower, and as he planted, some seed fell by the wayside. Now let's look at, I like to look at the meaning of words. And one of the meaning, the word wayside means this. Wayside means the land next to a road or path. Land next to a road or path. The side of or land adjacent to a road or path. Now, picture with me, if you will. Wayside, a way, a traveled way. Road, a traveler's way. Journey, traveling. This is wayside. It's the part of the road that if you were going through the country, I'm just going to paint a picture, and you walked across a graveyard area. And some of these graveyards are just weeded up, but you go and visit a family member just to reflect back on memories. And it may not have a good paved road like some of the nicer cemeteries have, where you can walk along a sidewalk, sit at a park bench. But this particular cemetery in the country now, going through some of these areas, rural areas, and you stop off and you get out of your car and you walk. And there's a walk path that has been made by travelers who take that area to walk alongside those headstones. So the pathway or the traveled way or the walked area has become hardened because this is the pathway that has been taken to get to something that we are trying to see. So it becomes hardened. And it becomes a trail, if you will. And so we see that trail, we walk through that trail to get to where we're going. But on the side of the trail, there's grassy area. There's fertile ground. There's, you see grass growing up. You may see a couple of wild flowers. But you stay on that pathway, that road or path, or the side or land adjacent to the road, a traveled way. And I like to picture it that way because it shows that it becomes hard because of so much travel. And so when we look at that wayside area, it puts me in the mind of an area that has been trampled on or trampled on, and it becomes hardened. Now think about this as the seed fall or get sprinkled.
Uh-huh.
Look at it this way. Look at it this way. When the sower went out and sowed the seed, or in the New Living Translation, he scattered them across his field. Some seeds fell on a footpath, a trail, that hardened area that is traveled frequently. And picture that with me, and how maybe it may be even a path that the tractor drives down in order for him to get to one side of the pasture to start plowing or sowing. And so if you picture that in your mind on how that particular area becomes common ground that is traveled and it becomes hardened, this is what is illustrated in verse 4 on how the sower sowed some seed fell by the wayside. And it fell on that hardened area. And when you sprinkle or scatter the seeds across his field, the seeds fell on a pathway, and the birds came and ate it, devoured them. Before I mention anything about the birds, I want us to clearly get an understanding that the wayside is a condition of heart.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Jesus explains this parable in the verses, verse 18, but before I go there, I just want to make sure we understand that the wayside is a hardened path, an area that seeds do fall on when you are scattering the seeds in a farmer's world. When we farm, we're sowing seeds, but the condition of the heart can be just like that pathway.
Yeah.
Hardened.
Yeah.
The condition of the heart. So although we are believers in Christ Jesus, we can go to church every Sunday after Sunday, hear the word of God Sunday after Sunday, and it not penetrate from the head to the heart.
Amen.
The heart will not or have not received the very word that has been sown or extended or dispersed or sprinkled, if you will. The sower is sowing. Who's the sower? The sower is Jesus Christ, or the sowers can be the church people. But there are some church people that hearts are still not, are still wayside hearts.
Mm-hmm. Can you
wayside
hear that?
Wayside soil.
Uh-huh.
Wayside soil. So I just want to make sure that we understand that the condition of a person's heart can be just as the condition of the ground that is by the wayside. So,
yeah.
So think with me, if you will, because, again, the seeds are sprinkled now. It clearly says, as he sowed.
Do you hear that?
Comma in some translations.
Uh-huh.
Some translations. For those who are on the line, if you could mute your phones, I would appreciate that. And as we move through the scriptures for the benefit of those who are listening. So if we see that our hearts can be in that same condition, that wayside ground has taken shape, and we listen to the word of God day in and Sunday after Sunday. We hear programs. We watch the Word of God on TV, or we're even singing songs of worship, and somehow or another we can just go through the motions, and we not hear what from the heart. And I like to ask this question, do you have a heart that hears, or are you just hearing with the ear and it's going out the other ear? Is your heart conditioned with the right fertilizer to receive the seed? Or is it that wayside soil that nothing penetrates? And it sits there, the seed or the Word of God is there for the birds to come and devour it, the seeds. Now keep in mind that the seed that is being sown is the Word of God, but the seed has to be sown in a ground or soil that is fertilized or prepared and ready to receive, a heart thing, a condition of heart, a heart that hears the Word of God, receives the Word of God, and does something with the Word of God, whether it be a lifestyle change, whether it be working in the ministry, whether it be just sharing the Word of God in your family. But it just doesn't fall on hard ground, and it's of no use to you or anybody else. So I wanted us to really get an understanding of the condition of our hearts. When the seeds fall and we receive the seed, is it just going in one ear and out the other? Or is it actually going in your ear, hearing it, and it's penetrating down into your heart to where a life change takes place? Now, I wanted to say that the ground on the wayside, we understand. Now let's look at how the birds devoured what was sprinkled or sown on the wayside. They just snatched it up. Snatched it up. So what does that mean? That means that when you hear the Word of God, it's not sticking. You can hear the Word of God preached every Sunday, and you can hear the Word of God and walk right out of the church doors and revert back to a way of life that is contrary to what you heard. And we operate this way, which Scripture tells me it's a carnal mind or a backslidden lifestyle. A backslidden way. So you don't want to understand with depth. So the condition of the heart needs to be so fertilized with the Word of God that when you hear the Word of God, it would stick. And we will talk about that more on the next lesson, but I just wanted to spend time on getting a simplistic understanding of the type of soil that in these three verses are illustrating, Jesus is illustrating in this particular parable. And so the wayside is the hardened. Then we go into verse 5. Some fell on stony ground. Stony ground. In verse 5, stony places in the King James where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered. Let's look at that in the New Living Translation, just to shed a little more light in its simplistic way. Listen to what it says here. Other seeds fell on shallow soil when underlining rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. Verse 6, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, And since they didn't have deep roots, they dried. Now, what does this tell us? Let's look at the meaning of the word. We looked at wayside meaning. Let's look at the word stony places. Stony places means rocky, stony, made of stone or hard like stone, a form, appearance, having an appearance of a rock or a stone is used of rock. Underlining shallow soil is just another meaning, the rocky places. And it gives us this understanding that when the seeds fall on shallow soil, there's soil mixed with rock. And I've seen this in the country as well, and I just have to keep going back to the country. And we've seen where the ground has soil underneath, and you see these big rocks that you can actually pick them up and, say, chunk them or throw them across a stream and watch them skip. Rocks about that size, and they're on the ground. So there are some places within the rocks that are good soil. But because of the rocks, there's no depth. There's no deep roots of that is grown. So you could literally go and you see weeds or a flower, and you may see it sprout up, and it may catch your eye through those rocks, but you bend down and pick it up. You don't have to pull too hard. You don't have to get a shovel to dig it up. You can just pull it up with your bare fingers, and it will slip right out of the dirt. And you can pull so many of those, and you can actually form a bouquet, if you will. But my point is that it was easy to pull, so there's no depth in that particular soil. Is that some of us? Where we hear the word of God, and we receive it again, we appear to be saved or believers in Christ Jesus, but somehow or another, it doesn't take deep, deep, deep root in our heart. And our lives show forth that we are somewhat stony in appearance. We can really appear to be hard-hardened, stony-hearted, thick skin or callous. Just some words we've heard that illustrate or that identify the condition of the heart. Now, let me move down to verse 18. And if you would walk with me, with what we read, verses 4, 5, and 6, let's look at Matthew 13 and move down to verse 18. Now, this is the interpretation of 4, 5, and 6, and we're just going to move around. We're going to focus on 18, verse 18, verse 19, 20, and 21. And before my time runs out, this is what it says in the New King James translation. Now, this is the explanation or interpretation of verses 4 through 6. It reads this way: therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Follow with me. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his or her heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. Verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, those rocky places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. He has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Wow, that's some of us. Listen to what it says in the New Living Translation. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seed. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the word or the message about the kingdom and didn't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil, we talked about shallow soil, rocky soil, represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. How many of us are doing that? We won't stand on what the word says. And when we come up under persecution or problems come our way, we operate as if there's no hope, as if we don't know what the word says. And it's so clear in Scripture where it says, yet in verse 21, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. As long as everything is good, then we can say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, I'm blessed. But as soon as trouble comes our way, then we wring our hands saying, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Immediately, we stumble. It says he stumbles. So I just want to open the lines up. And Pastor Crowe, go right ahead, Pastor Crowe.
I just want to add one thing. Boy, I appreciate and love that so much. And I like the part where you said the wayside signifies the heart that is hardened by the worldly traffic, and our understanding we can't understand or comprehend the words of the kingdom. And that's that 19th verse. But this is the thought I got on that, in that fifth verse, the rocky places.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what those rocks are that can't get through because of shallow? The rocks are the hidden sins. Rocks are personal desires in our lives. The rocks are self-seeking. The rocks are self-pity, which hinder the seed, the word, from taking roots in the depths of our heart. Lord have mercy. The rocks. Somebody has some rocks in their life. And the word, as you stated, can't grow because the rocks in our lives, because we are stony hearers, it can't take root. Thank you so much for that, sister. Thank you so much for that. And the worldly traffic. The traffic of the world keeps stumbling down the seed. I just want to throw that in because I'm rejoicing. I'm rejoicing, Sister Smith. Maybe some of the other callers might have some comments, but thank you so much for that.
Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, you hit the nail on the head, and that just made it even more better to understand. Just looking at our life, you know, what are those hidden sins as the rocky ground or that shallow ground signifies? What are some of those hidden sins? Do you have a sin of lust? Is your temper bad? Are you self-centered? Are you fleshly driven? And those things need to be addressed, and you need to take that to the Lord in prayer. Or get with some prayer warriors and have them to pray with you, lifting you up in prayer, asking the Lord to shape and mold you, make you anew. I like the fact that I wanted to just go there, and it really slipped my mind, but I wanted to think about the story concerning Nicodemus, on how he was a Pharisee, and correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor Crow, that he was a Pharisee. He was a Sanhedrin, mm-hmm. and he knew the law. He knew the law backwards and forwards. He was considered a teacher. And Jesus addressed him, asking him, basically telling him, you should know this. You should know this. And this is, of course, is found in John 3, verse 1 through 21. But I didn't want to go there for the sake of time. But for you that are listening tonight, write it down, John chapter 3, verse 1 through 21. Read that.
He couldn't understand. His understanding... because of the rocks in his life, he couldn't understand how could a man be born again. And many people today don't understand the new birth. They don't understand regeneration, the change in nature, and sanctification, the change of character, and imputation, where God imputes his righteousness, and justification, because the rocks in their lives are the traffic of the world. Won't let the word sink in. Nicodemus couldn't understand. How can a man be born again? And somebody out there want to know. Right? That's where they haven't accepted Christ, because they don't understand, because the rocks. I want to leave it over. I'm just so happy tonight. So carry on. I just carry on, but I'm just ready to shout. I'm ready.
No.
Come on.
And we should be shouting. For those of you who are listening on live on the internet, who are listening on the phone line, we should be rejoicing. And that's what it says. We rejoice. But it shouldn't just be for a little while. It shouldn't be that, not those shallow soils, not that shallow soil. We should rejoice till Jesus comes back. And this is the habit that I believe God Almighty wants us to do. Be happy. Tell somebody that you are a child of the Most High God. And for those of you who are listening that have not confessed that you are a sinner, please don't let this day go down that you have not turned your eyes to the Lord and accepted him today, right now, at this hour, as your Lord and Savior. Because he's coming back, and he's coming back for his bride. So I tell you, if there's anybody that's on the line that would like to share a moment or a verse that helps somebody, or maybe with what you've gathered from this crop, this harvest, as we look at the sower, the seed, and the ground, the fertilizer, and understand it's a conditioning of heart. And please chime in at this moment. Unmute your phone, if you will, and I will acknowledge you. If you have a share moment, please take this opportunity. Now, remember, there's others listening, so don't be afraid, but just know that God is using you to minister too, just through your testimony. So do a good deed, if you will, by sharing, and just let not this opportunity pass by. So Some of us pray, Lord, give me an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody. Well, here it is. So if you want to speak up, I acknowledge you to do so at this time. If not, then we're going to continue in our program. And I pray and hope that you have enjoyed this just as much as Pastor Crow and I have. And I know the Lord God is happy. I know he's smiling. I know he's excited. But we cannot be a wayside soil. We cannot be a shallow soil. We have got to be a good ground soil. And we will talk about that on next week, next Thursday night. Please
Amen.
Be with us. And Pastor Crow, I want you, if you will, if your
oh, yeah.
time allows on your calendar, to be with us, to walk with me and walk with us concerning the verses 7 through 9.
We certainly will.
And just continue to look at this ground that Jesus is talking about, and I just believe it's the heart of those. And then he did say, where was that, in chapter 13, and I believe it was in verse 9, he who hears,
he who has ears,
let him hear. So don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Remember, my question was, do you have a heart that hears? Is your heart listening?
Amen.
Yes. Is your heart Amen. Listening? Or are you just listening with your naked ear?
Amen.
And so,
like somebody on the line.
Yes, I hear somebody. Who's on the line?
Hello?
Hello? Who is this?
This is Charlotte Corpus.
I'm fine.
I wanted to share some scripture from my Bible. The verse 22 of the Matthew 13, it says, the one sown in the thorns, this is he who hears the word, and the anxiety of the age and the deceitfulness of riches utterly choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But if you read on, it says, the one sown on the good earth, this is he who hears the word and understands, who by all means hears fruit, bears fruit, and produces 100-fold and 160-fold and 130-fold.
Yeah, that's right. Mighty good.
Amen.
Right.
That is
so.
Good.
I hear the word and I understand it, and I try and, you know, it's hard when you're reading by yourself to not have anyone to talk to about the word, but you try and comprehend it and understand it and try to let it sink in. But sometimes it's kind of difficult when you don't have anyone to share it with.
But thank you for sharing with us tonight.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Charlotte, for that. And I tell you, that's going to be our focus on next Thursday. The very word, scriptures, the verses that she read, we will be looking at Matthew 13, 7 through 9, and 22 through 23. So, praise the Lord. So, if there's anyone else, please don't hesitate. If not, then, Pastor Crow, we're going to conclude our program this evening. And I know we kind of ran over a little bit, but, you know, praise the Lord. I tell you,
praise
I didn't want anybody to walk away from this program tonight or online, live on the Internet, wondering why or what or who. Go back and revisit this program. You can listen to it again on the Internet at your own study time, and the site that you go on is www.blogtalkradio.com/heart-msth, and that MSTH stands for Mission from the Heart. So that's www.blogtalkradio.com/heart-to-heart-msth, and remember, the number 2. And you can follow me on Twitter. That's Heart to Heart, Q, H-O-U, and that's the number 2. And we can tweet and just continue to share verses and encouragement of the Word of God. And Pastor Crow, he is the pastor of Barbers Memorial Missionary Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, in Third Ward, Texas. And if you could give the address, Pastor Crow, and if there's anything that's coming up at the church, I believe there's some things that are coming up at your church. Share that with those that are listening.
Well, we're getting ready to celebrate our 10th year. We are at Barbers Memorial, mbc.org. You can tune in our website. We're also on Facebook. Tune in to us there. Getting ready for our 10th anniversary. Lord has blessed us to be there for 10 years. We're at www.facebook.com. And I just thank God again for that word. And I'm so impressed with the young lady that spoke that went a little farther in the word. It's just a blessing to walk through the word. And I want to encourage all of our listeners to call in and let's share in the word, because you stated earlier that, number one, we want to expose the word. Oftentimes people read the word, but they won't let the Holy Spirit expose the word.
Amen.
And then once the Holy Spirit exposes the word, he explains the word. That's how you walk through it. And that young lady that talked about how she walked through that 23rd verse. And then we wait for the listener to call in and expound on the word. So I'm looking forward to next week on the 20th, next Sunday, or this coming Sunday, we'll be celebrating our 10-year anniversary. God has placed us there in the Third Ward area. And I just thank God. And we're looking for... we're praying for our children. And when you see our Facebook site, you'll see some of the things that we're doing and at our church website. So I want to thank you again, Sister Smith, and I just enjoying this, and thank you for having us, and I look forward to being back on here next week.
Amen.
You want me to close us out in a prayer?
Yes.
Because
yes,
I feel like
definitely.
Praying right now.
Well, you go right ahead, brother.
Our Father in heaven, we come now thanking you for what our eyes have seen in your word, what our ears have heard from your word, and what our hearts have received.
Amen.
Thank you for reminding us not to have wayside where the worldly traffic tramples down your word. Help us not to let the rocks in our lives not let the word sink in and take root. But when the storms of life come, we blow away. We just want to say thank you. And we thank you most of all for sharing with us the mysteries of the kingdom of your heaven. And we just want to say thank you. And we pray next week that you send callers through to expound on the word with us. And we pray that there might be somebody that don't know Jesus in the pardoning of their sins. Our prayer is that they come to know who he is.
Amen.
And we pray that the seed will fall on good ground.
Amen.
Somebody will say, what must I do to be saved? Thank you for Sister Smith. Thank you for the callers. We just praise your holy name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So this concludes our program. Thank you for those who have been faithful to the program week after week. And I tell you, just continue to pray for us as we pray for you. And just ask the Lord to use you in a mighty way that somebody out there will come to know Jesus Christ in the pardoning of their sins because you have extended the gospel of Jesus Christ. This brings us to the conclusion of Mission from the Heart Radio. I just want you to remember the grass withereth and the flowers fadeth away, but the word of God stands forever. Thank you so much. God bless you and good night.
Good night.
Amen.
Hello?
Hey.